All right, what should I call you? Can I call you Vorta without it being, you know? Or should I call you, like, some like, secret intelligence name?
I think we can go with my real name.
Yeah. Vorchek. Should I call you Vorchek or Vorta?
You can. Whatever.
Yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. I'm sitting here with my other roommate, Vorchek. He's from the Czech Republic. He's in America studying American history. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Go to the University of New Orleans together. So, you were studying American history in the Czech Republic, and you also have a degree in kind of like international relations, seeing how different countries are relating to each other. Did you find out all the ways that America is screwing the Czech Republic over, and then you wanted to get it in a greater context of history?
I wouldn't say that, but I mean, America doesn't screw Czech Republic over. I think we are puppets ourselves. Using Lenin's terminology, we are playing the role of useful idiots, like licking the balls of America, although it's not in our best interest. But we have to follow the big brother who comes with the freedom, right? Who brings us the freedom and democracy. And so, you also brought the freedom and democracy to a million dead Iraqis.
Yeah, with drones. A million dead Iraqi civilians. So, like, imagine you're, like, an Iraqi kid. Like, you just got electricity and you're, like, your shitty brick house. You're trying to figure out, oh, what's going on in this crazy world? Like, a 12-year-old just trying to figure... And then, boom, his head explodes. You know, like, we're assholes. And I don't think enough people really understand the full context. What do Americans not know about their own history, you know, that you could teach them?
What I could teach them? Yeah, no, I think Americans definitely don't know that American history was to large extent written by Freemasons and people connected to those orders. And also that at least from 1898, from the war with Spanish people, America's acting as an imperial power, definitely. And Americans, they just want to have their cheap gas and fast food and football or baseball, whatever you're watching.
So that's the impression of America. That's the stereotype of Americans outside in Europe.
Yeah,
that we're just very distracted with hot dogs and football.
Yeah, from being here, I think just it's true. Most of Americans are really ignorant, although it could be synonym for stupid. But I don't mean it that way. Just ignorant. Yeah, ignorant about geography, history, what's going on in the world.
We went to a football game together. How was that experience for you to watch Americans standing for their national anthem, you know, the bombs blowing up, you know, that's our national anthem. And the bombs exploded, these civilians, and they're really dead. So many bombs are murdering, and our flag was still there. We planted it in an orphan's face. And it's just all about bombs exploding things, and then we play some football, and it's like, yeah, you know, there's this weird disconnect where, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with nationalism or patriotism, but the thing is that if the football and the big flag and anthem is the only thing that those people have in their heads, and they don't really care about what America actually does in the world, it could be a problem, and I mean, the football is not the case. The case is that the people who watch the football, they don't care about any other stuff. That can be the problem.
Yeah. So you got a degree, a master's degree in like international relations. You called it like security, like international security, trying to make sure that Czech Republic doesn't get fucked over too much, you know, from that perspective.
Yeah.
In this international relations, you know, if you only have so many bombs in your army, how can you go to the negotiation table with Kissinger, you know? So, what do you... you also told me that you wanted to get... I don't know if we can talk about this too much, but your goal is to kind of get in the intelligence service over there, you know? So, where do you see everything going in the future?
I cannot say anything about the intelligence stuff because I would have to kill you. But
okay.
Yeah, I think we are about to experience a big change of the world within our lifetime. I believe that our generation will witness a big change. Whether there would be a war or something else, I don't know. I cannot predict that, but I think the situation will change, and I'm afraid that America will fall very soon, because obviously you're broke,
right?
And you're not as popular as you used to be in the world.
Yeah.
And the dollar as a reserve currency is about to be replaced by something else, I'm afraid.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people had hope when Barack Obama came in, you know, look at this guy. And then I think that the whole world is kind of waking up to the fact, it's more and more obvious every year as a new president comes in, that absolutely nothing has changed. You know, it was under Obama's watch where the corporations are people and they can buy politicians. They're kind of like openly announcing fascism.
Citizens United?
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, anyone with a sense of history or studies the Constitution from the outside, is pretty obvious what's going on now.
I think the thing is that Obama does the same shit that Bush used to do, but he does it more in a more clever way. I mean, he doesn't send armies, boots on the ground. He rather uses drones to kill people from the air. But the thing
it's
is
passive that, aggressive.
Yeah, because he breaches the sovereignty of other states, right? Be it Yemen or Pakistan or Libya. You name it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got a degree and you were in international relations, and you were kind of telling me that you think that a lot of the books you had to read, a lot of the curriculum is actually not true if you look at the hidden history. If you look at Freemasonry, if you look at the shadow government, the you know, you don't really learn that stuff. You only learn about the official line of all of the international relations and cases, right?
Yep, but that's only part of the truth, right? It's only part of the story. And it's always, there are always things behind that you just have no means how to learn that.
I think I look at the education system pretty badly, because if you also look at like the way science is taught in America, you know, and you have people like Tesla who may or may not have come up with free energy machines, but you don't learn that in high school. You don't learn, so you don't start your education knowing that there's free energy and building on that. Instead, you still learn that like dinosaur fucking olive oil is the best technology we have, and so we have to drive around our new BMWs every year. You know, this technology came out in 1816. So from a basis of a lie in science as well, you know, we're not reaching our potential as humans. That's what I see, and I see this disconnect kind of clashing.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far to say that the education system is in the hands of some Illuminati, but I'm sure that people who don't want anything to be taught to children can somehow arrange for that.
Mm-hmm.
Through money, through their power, through influence.
Yeah, if you own, like, you know, how many companies are there making textbooks? 30? So if you're like a banker who's like got like billions of dollars, and it's pretty easy to buy 30 textbook companies and then kind of control the entire education system.
Yeah, I don't know how it works in America, but in Czech Republic there's always a man who has to approve the textbook in order to be to be official textbook of high school education. So, I mean, there's a way how to influence that.
Do you think that there's like an international cabal that is making sure that they get their guy inside and be the textbook checker for every country in the world?
Ah, yeah. I mean, there's this possibility, but I have no means how to make sure that that's true. I mean, you can never know. You can never really know whether there's some conspiracy or who works for whom. It's just you cannot look. You don't see into that.
So you were saying that, like, while you were getting your degree in college, there was all these, like, rumors about 9/11 and stuff. All these rumors that, you know, that the official story there wasn't true. How did your eyes get open to 9/11 truth?
I mean, I was watching several documentaries about that, mostly online. And I was reading some studies, even from architects of skyscrapers. But I think that the problem is not science or the facts. The problem was always in my head, because I was not willing to just admit that there's even a little chance that it could happen differently than what says the official version, because I mean, people are scared to admit the truth, because the world suddenly doesn't make sense if you admit that.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at history and then you look like, oh, Hitler, you know, put a bunch of Jews on a train, like, is that impossible to happen now? You know, like, look at what's going on throughout history. There's been mass genocides, there's been really evil people in power, so, like, why is that impossible for something really shitty to happen right now,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think the psychology of a man is always the same, whether you drive a BMW or you ride a horse. I think people always want money, power, women, whatever. And speaking of the devil, I mean, Hitler in the Second World War, it started with the false flag operation, right, in Poland.
Explain that for people who don't understand.
Yeah, okay, so Germans took Polish uniforms and attacked their own facility in order to start the war. They then blamed Poland and invaded the country, basically.
Right, so then Hitler got on TV and went, listen, those Polacks came in here, they didn't have German accents, they weren't wearing Polish uniforms, they were definitely Polish people, yeah. Okay? And they attacked our shit.
And we have to do something about that.
So it almost seems like this ancient, like, war strategy that just gets repeated over and over again.
Yeah,
it's not a unique thing to say that we could bomb our own self for a war declaration.
Yeah, I think the history of mankind is still in a spiral or in circles, so history repeats itself. Even though the technology is different, the psychology of humankind is all the same.
And if you look at Vietnam, what happened was Robert McNamara, our defense secretary, was like, yeah, I just got a wire in from a submarine we have in the Gulf of Tonkin. One of our ships was attacked by the Viet Cong.
Yeah, never happened.
Never even happened. So he just set a false flag. It's much cheaper just to get on TV and say, listen, this happened, instead of actually blowing anything up. Just lying, you know, yeah. And saying something exploded when nothing happened. And he even admitted that the Gulf of Tonkin never happened. And he's today is still not saying that he's a war criminal who started a war for no reason. He's saying that it was a miscommunication.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, those documents were declassified a couple of years ago, and it surprised me that it didn't cause some general whole nation uprising, because, I mean, how many people died over there for no reason, because there was no incident in Gulf Tonkin. So it's really, really, I think it just confirms the hypothesis about ignorance of American people.
But also, you know, the 9/11 Commission report, there is 26 pages that were deemed classified, you know, and still I saw some congressmen saying, we want to reopen the investigation on 9/11. I really don't want to get shot in the head for this, but listen, 26 pages were censored out of the 9/11 Commission report, so we want to put those back in.
This is something that the families deserve to know. This information, it's been over a decade, 13 years since this event happened. And we've had a narrative in the media and in the press and in the collective American conscience of what happened that day, but I don't think it's fully informed, and it won't be fully informed until everybody gets to see these 28 pages. And just to echo what Congressman Lynch said, I'm here for the families, but I'm also here for our country to look forward. We have to decide how to prevent another 9/11 type event from happening. Until you have the full picture of what actually happened, the intelligence picture, how can you participate in that debate? How can we know that what we do will prevent another 9/11 from happening? And how can we know that some of the things that maybe we would otherwise endeavor to do might be overreactions? So, also, I want to talk about the experience of sitting down and reading these 28 pages. It's in a room where it's soundproof, and you're escorted in there, and you're escorted out, and there are no notes. But this is something that's sort of shocking when you read it. As I read it, and we all had our own experience, I had to stop every couple pages and just sort of absorb and try to rearrange my understanding of history. For the past 13 years and the years leading up to that, it challenges you to rethink everything. And so I think the whole country needs to go through that. It's going to be difficult and it could be embarrassing. But that is no reason to keep the truth from the American people. I want to finish with two challenges. I want to challenge all the congressmen who have not read these 28 pages, who have the ability to go read these 28 pages, to do it for your constituents. There are 435 districts in this country. Every congressman needs to see these 28 pages. And then I challenge them to co-sponsor Congressman Jones and Congressman Lynch's bill like I have. And finally, the final challenge I want to issue is to those who would keep these pages secret. You need to have your own press conference. You need to be held to a standard to answer the questions. Why do you want to keep these 28 pages secret? In my estimation, as shocking as the 28 pages are, and as much as they sort of rearrange my understanding of what happened, I don't think it would hurt our national security to release this, and it would give families the answers.
And apparently what's in those documents is all about this Saudi Arabia intelligence service and how we gave them like a lot of money to help us do the 9/11 on our own buildings. So it's a lot of weird shit is going on with that, and for any of it to be censored is fucking disgusting. You know what I mean? It's already 1,000 pages of nonsense that doesn't really have much relevance to the whole operation, and then the only thing that's actually relevant is 26 pages, and that gets redacted. So, you know, it's just like the Warren Commission report. Yeah, you can write a book, but tell me how a bullet ends up on a gurney after it goes through two bodies and it's not, and it's in pristine condition. So you can write all the books you want, but that's bullshit. And so, you know, you can write a book about how the bullet was made of a special kind of metal, but if it went through his head and it went through the other dude's leg, it's not true if it ends up pristine on the gurney. So, and they're like, we got the bullet, we're the CIA, trust us. Anyway, national security. I'm going to redact some pages. You know what I mean? It's just endlessly this cycle of controlling information. And so did you have like an anxiety attack when you first had to admit to yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all the stuff that they told us about terrorism and how terrorism works and how the security in the world works, it just fell apart because, I mean, if it really was an inside job, I mean, is it in the interest of those people who did that I learn this stuff and that I think in the way I think?
Right.
Yeah, probably, right?
Because you had to write a lot of papers about terrorism and how that's a problem, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I have a master's degree in intelligence propaganda.
Yeah, the thing is that you have to think about stuff critically. And also read sources that you don't necessarily agree with. So it's not only about what you know, but what you are able to do with materials that are on your table. So it's not only about the content of the book, but about your head, how you proceed, and how you use that information. And
yeah.
So it's not that easy. But the thing is that everything's built on something that could, may or may not be a lie, so that is kind of shocker, or it was, but you can live with that, you can learn how to live with that.
Yeah, so now you're in the belly of the beast, you're in the balls of the dick that's fucking the whole world, you're in America, you know, you're right in there. Has your perception of Americans changed at all since you've been here? Do you still think that we're a bunch of brainwashed idiots, or...
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't say you're a bunch of brainwashed idiots, but I think it's a much more comfortable way to be ignorant. Ignorance is bliss, right? Because people just... You can be material, okay. Materially, you can have your car, you can have the cheap gas. You don't have to care about stuff, so... That's what I thought, and in here, it just confirmed it. I mean, I spoke with Americans about history and geography, about things that are going on in political system and party system, government. They don't have a clue. I mean, how many people know who Eric Holder is?
Right.
Not many.
The attorney general and shit. I know that guy.
Yeah. So you're very special.
I'm a screenwriting major. I major in just writing, making up bullshit. So, but I pay attention to some things.
Yeah, so I think you have to have a degree in something that's connected to politics if you want to understand it.
Right. But if you get a degree in politics, you're only learning what they want you to learn. And it's very carefully selected, the books that they teach you. Speaking of looking outside the box, I want to play a couple clips of this guy called Bill Schneblin. He was a top Freemason to the point of he learned how to be a vampire. And, you know, when you get to be a vampire, you know, you got to go down some really occult dark holes. It's also known that Hitler was really into occultism. Freemasonry is just a cafeteria of different occults that you know, put on your plate and you walk through and you go, I want to learn a little Kabbalah. I want to learn a little Aleister Crowley black magic. So let's play some of those clips.
I've talked about this guy by name and I don't think I bothered to formally introduce him. Isn't he a cutie? This is Edward Alexander Crowley, also known as Aleister Crowley. He styled himself the wickedest man in the world. He believed himself to be the great beast, and he changed his name to Aleister Crowley, so it would add up in both English, Hebrew, and Greek Kabbalah as 666. In 1904, Crowley had a communication with an extraterrestrial being named Iwas, and this being, through his wife, kind of a channeling type operation, brought forth a book that was called the Book of the Law in 1904. And this book declared that the slain and risen God, i.e. Jesus, had stepped off the throne and that a new God, the crowned and conquering child, was taking his place. And as a result of this, Crowley proclaimed the end of Christianity and the start of Crowleyanity. Obviously, the guy had no self-esteem problems. In fact, he was a brilliant genius. He could play 8 chess games blindfolded. He was an accomplished poet, mountaineer, painter, writer. He had so many Masonic degrees that you could fill up 5 pages of a book with them. This guy was probably the most highly honored Mason in the world. And he was also the most dangerous man of the 20th century. And he began doing rituals to bring forth this crowned and conquering child. And he began to start what he called the cult of the fascinating child. And in doing this, he uncovered, without knowing it, the royal secret of Masonry. And what happened was, a gentleman came knocking at his door after he published a book. And in this book, it was a book of poetry, and in the book he had made an allusion to something. And this guy, his name was Theodore Royce. He was a German occultist and the head of the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, which stands for the Order of Eastern Templars. There's the Knights Templar again. And this Theodore Royce told Crowley that he had given away the greatest secret in occult history. And Crowley said, "What do you mean? I don't even understand it." So the guy promptly initiated him on the spot to the 9th degree of the OTO and then explained the secret to him. And you're about to learn what this secret is. The secret is that as a Mason, you are promised immortality. If you go to a Masonic funeral, you will hear them discuss the immortality issue. You will hear them promise that they will go to the Celestial Lodge above and live there forever. How do they get this immortality? They don't believe in Jesus. The name of Jesus is not allowed to be mentioned in the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry. And while there are probably many Masons in this nation that are either nominal or even professing Christians, that doesn't enter into this discussion because it's not mentioned in the funeral. Where do they get their promise of immortality? Simply, the secret that Crowley uncovered, probably through demonic intervention, is the secret that this immortality is conveyed through tantric sex magic. And the kind of sex magic that we're talking about here, unfortunately, is a sexual violation of a little child. Crowley taught that the way you could live forever was by vampirizing little children sexually. And he personally bragged of having slaughtered 150 male children in 1 year. This is why he was called the wickedest man in the world.
But so we're talking about Freemasonry. We're talking about secret societies. How are the secret societies connected to all this stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, they are secret for a reason, right? So right. Normal people just do not have any access to them. So you can watch some testimony of someone who was there, but he may lie, and he may lie, or they may have sent him to lie.
Right.
Precisely in this way, in order to cover what they're actually doing. So, I mean, it can be something true about conspiracy theories, but you can't believe everything because you can easily become a target of misinformation. So disinformation. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's really important to be critical about everything you see, be it the mainstream official media or the unofficial or conspiracy media. You can call it whatever you want, but I think we know what I'm talking about.
And also, you know, Edward Snowden comes out and he is in the NSA, and then he says all the things that are unconstitutional that they kind of institutionally do, like you can type in anyone's name into the NSA server and it pulls up all their emails, it pulls up all their phone calls, it pulls up all this stuff. You know, you used to need to go to a judge and get a warrant and have a probable cause. You needed to say, listen, I'm a cop. I think this guy has a nuclear weapon in his basement. I think that because we put a radar detector outside his house, we did this and that, and so I want to get a search warrant to check. Now, everybody, it's like, every single one of your letters is opened by the government and read and closed and has access to.
Unlawful seizure doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah,
right?
And then you look at what some snuffling fucking neocon on TV says, and they're like, what do you think of Edward Snowden? And he's like, I think he's a traitor. I think he's a traitor to America. Because he's the only one who has the balls to uphold his oath to the Constitution, to enemies foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
He's the only one doing that. And every single employee of the NSA who's not doing that is the traitor, because they're breaking their oath to the Constitution that they did to swear in. So you have this weird dichotomy where the mainstream is the fascist so clearly, and do you see this like bubble of information about to explode, or do you think that it's going to take, you know, you know, the water in California is about to shut off. Like, will it take some kind of crazy thing like this? There's a drought in California. What if Los Angeles, like, runs out of water, which is very possible in the next 9 months, you know? Like,
in Czech Republic or the Europe in general, I expect a big blackout.
Yeah.
Because the electricity system is just overloaded with energy from Germany. So I think we're about to have a big blackout, and then God knows what happens.
Right.
But the thing is that you have to cover or you have to hide only the little secrets, right? The big ones, just people won't believe them. So you don't have to hide the big things, because, you know, human brain is a very interesting machine and it protects itself from being destroyed. So the brain says, oh, that would be too much for me. So I'll just, you know, deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happens to almost everyone, happened to me. I wasn't ready to accept that there could be some alternative history or something behind.
Right.
So
do you think that the people in the American intelligence study the psychology very closely of the people and try to keep them, you know, keep the intellectual, or just try to keep the zeitgeist or the level of intelligence of the whole culture at a certain low level? You know, do you think that they're monitoring very carefully what people know and how to manipulate their brains and with propaganda and mind control?
I'm not sure, but you know, if you look at some popular music songs, you look at the movies that they have with that, I mean, some brainwashing is definitely taking place right now. And for example, the USSR, Soviets were really, really enthusiastic about research regarding the mind control and psionics stuff of people. Like, they really assembled many people with some special abilities, and they did proper research about that. They were actually crazy about that. So,
what do you mean by special abilities? Psychic soldiers?
Yeah, exactly. Psychic soldiers, telekinesis, and sensibles. People who could tell what's on the other side of wall, for example, and stuff like that. So it sounds like fairy tale, but they really, I mean, it was the Soviet regime was strictly materialistic, right? The whole communist ideology is materialistic in its nature. So if they were doing research like this, there should be something about that. I mean,
do you think that the occult and studying Freemasonry and studying Kabbalah and studying black magic has something to do with trying to make a psychic soldier? Do you think, I mean, look at the movie Men Who Stare at Goats, you know, which was based on a documentary, a real documentary, where they went to General Stubblebine, who talked about trying to make a psychic soldier, like very openly, and he was the retired Air Force commander, a very high level.
Let me just give you a thought. Most people wear blinders, okay? They wander through life looking through a tunnel.
Tunnel vision.
What I did was to try to take the tunnel and take the blinders off. Whoa.
Nothing is easier than just say, this man is crazy, right?
Right.
So people are afraid to speak up because they would be marked or labeled as crazy and their career would be basically over. So, I mean, people know stuff. There are many people who know at least something. I mean, I don't think there are too many people who would know the whole picture. But there are definitely people who know at least tokens, but they are afraid because they would be crazy or traitors, as you said, or something else. They would just be just labeled. Or they would disappear. I mean, I don't really know how that works, but I can imagine that if I was sitting in the chair of someone who really has power and bad intentions, I would be able to make sure that no one speaks.
What do you mean by that?
Just, you know, intimidation or money, or we'll give you power if you will be with us, or yeah, you just disappear.
Yeah.
Whatever works. I mean, everyone has his weaknesses, be it the family, or be it the women, money, whatever.
So you think any person who becomes a psychic soldier, if they're going to reveal any secrets, they get intimidated or killed or something like that? Every now and then a piece of information leaks through, though, and it's like, but it's so different than what the mainstream believes that people don't even believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I like this guy called Phil Schneider, who talked about Dulce Air Force Base, and he said in the underground laboratory in Dulce Air Force Base, there are aliens working with humans and doing illegal human experimentation, you know, like trying to make a frog baby, trying to make a zebra human, just to advance the scientific knowledge of how DNA works, how cloning works. Maybe they envision a future where nobody is giving birth naturally. They're just making, like, highly intelligent humans in a test tube. Is that a more efficient way to run a society if everyone's a test tube baby, you know? Yeah. With a super intelligence and super strength? Like, wouldn't that be a scary future, you know? And would the government, if they were interested in doing this in the future, tell anybody about it? No, because it's illegal Nazi science. So you have to start, then there's like these different levels of security of, well, no, this has got to be super top secret, and if you tell anybody, we'll kill you, because it's illegal. And that's the only reason for secrets.
Yeah, the thing is that there's no way how to confirm this. I mean, is there really the base? How can you tell? I mean, will you go there? Will they let you in and show you that there's nothing's... there are no such things going on.
Right.
And they will not, right?
So, right. This guy called Phil Schneider gave 2 lectures and then he got shot. So, you know.
What a coincidence, right?
So, who knows? Maybe he just, you know, had a bad car accident after his second lecture about Dulce Air Force Base. Or maybe it's all bullshit. Maybe it's some internet conspiracy. Who knows?
But, yeah, but the thing is that the more those stories you hear, the less sure you can be what's true and what's false. Because they overwhelm us with conspiracies, I mean, if I was from, if I was a member of secret society, I would intentionally broadcast or just produce conspiracy theories that would maybe have a little truth in them, but otherwise they would be bullshit, so that no one could tell what's bullshit.
Right. So you think that the intelligence service knows that people get close to the truth, so then they put a truth in a bullshit sandwich and then put it out on the internet.
I mean, that would make sense, right?
That would make sense. You know what else is really cheap? Just to say that a boat exploded when it didn't. It's pretty cheap. My sister, I showed my sister Frog Baby, and then she came back and said, I showed Frog Baby to a bunch of my coworkers, and then we researched it, and we found out that it's just a disease. It's just a genetic disease. And then everybody got sad because, oh, this poor, weird creature is just a human with a skin disease. And I said, you know, if you were operating a $10 billion a year underground illegal facility, how cheap is it to put out one blog post about that this Frog Baby is actually just a human with a disease? Yeah. Like, it's pretty fucking cheap to write one false information blog post and keep your $20 billion facility running year after year.
So I sense that your sister's probably not a genetic engineer, right?
No. She does online advertising.
Yeah.
But, so overall, what, you know, it's in this murky territory, you know? It's just all you can really do is be curious for what you don't know. But it's endless. Once you kind of admit to yourself that 9/11 was an inside job, then you go who and what and where and who and what and where. It's just a quagmire that never ends. It just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, it's a snowball. With at some point becomes an avalanche probably, and you have to keep your sanity. So, I mean, I'm not saying that I know what really happened or what did not happen, but I think that the 9/11 report was definitely is the biggest conspiracy theory and the least plausible one of them all. So, I mean, I can tell you where the truth is, but I'm pretty sure that it's not the 9/11 report.
Yeah. This has been a pretty interesting conversation. So, where do you see, like, we have some possible solutions, is this BRIC alliance that's starting to form, the BRIC alliance, Brazil, Russia, India, China. I've talked about this a lot. Where do you see the BRIC alliance kind of clashing with America?
Yeah, I don't want to pester you, but I think it includes South Africa as well.
Okay. Yeah, 188 countries now of
something. Yeah, it's a BRIC or BRICS with a S for South Africa. But I think, I mean, America will not give up without fight. You can see that the Roman Empire in the last years, they were very aggressive, and they thought that they are so that everything's nice and peachy and that they've developed great society, but the thing is that they were internally very, very weak, and I think that's the case of America, because you're broke, no one likes you anymore, your currency is printed out of thin air, it's fiat money, right?
The Roman Empire had the same problem.
Yeah. Taxes, they couldn't afford the army anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what Alex Jones says? The response to 1984 is 1776, but with this ignorance of American people, I don't see that coming. I'm very skeptical about that. I think some national rebirth of Americans, I think it would need a big catastrophe, and really the poop would have to hit the fan really hard in order to American people just to open their eyes.
Yeah. Do you think that Alex Jones is one of those agents who, you know, gives a lot of good information, but every now and then is like he's controlled somehow?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't follow him that much. I just like lying with 1984 and 1776, but I don't really.
I followed Alex Jones for a long time, but then I started to realize that he's kind of, his outlook is so doom and gloom, and he doesn't have too many positive answers of how anything could get fixed. So he just kind of tells you all this shit, and it almost creates a worldview that's so overwhelming where he develops a monster that could never be defeated.
Yeah, the problem with him, I think, is that he's so deep in what he does. And it's like if you're in a swamp and you know, you're kicking and punching, you just go quicker underwater. So
right.
I think he's like a spider that has his web all over himself and
I mean, we're murdering us! Diabetes doubled the last 10 years, cancer doubled, children walking around with their bald heads dying of cancer all around me! Why? This is a normal response to them! Break your conditioning! Be a human! They're murderers!
I think it took the best of him. I mean, it takes its toll if you're still in the conspiracy things day by day, and he has a paranoia, and I think someone follows him definitely, because I mean, if I was from Secret Service, that would be a man to follow. So I think he just I feel kind of sorry for that guy, because he's so deep in shit, there's no way out for him, I hope. I think, but I hope we can have some change, but I don't see that coming.
Cool. So, do you want to leave the audience with any? We've kind of painted a picture pretty quickly. We've only been recording for like 35 minutes. So, do you want to wrap anything up as far as like people to do their own research? Any books people can read that inspired you? Anything?
No, I would just say this. I don't want to sound arrogant, but you Americans should pull your head out of your asses and really open your eyes and think about stuff critically, because not everything that the mainstream media tell you is necessarily true. So just think about it and really be critical about stuff.
Yeah, and look, like, 1 month of Iraq would pay for everyone in America's college education. So what's more important, putting Americans in debt or shooting Iraqis in the head? You know, so you look at where America puts its money, it's pretty obvious where they're putting their money, in violence and intimidation, to intimidate other countries around them that were still the fucking boss.
Yeah, you are exporting democracy, right? I don't think Iraq is better off without Saddam, with you, and then ISIS when you left. Yeah, I don't think that it was a good deal for common Iraq people. Yeah,
yeah, they kind of seem like they got screwed. At least a dictator, they had a solid guy. It was one of their guys. He spoke their Iraqi language, whatever that is. Farsi? What do they speak in Iraq? I don't know.
No, Farsi is in Iran.
Yeah. Do they speak Iraqi?
Yeah, they speak Arabic, I think.
Arabic?
One word.
Oh, okay, whatever. So he spoke Arabic, you know, he was their dude who came from that part of the... I mean, even though... And the CIA in the 80s gave him all kinds of weapons. And then, you know, 20 years later, we hung him in his basement. You know what I mean? So we're always controlling the situation over there.
Yeah,
if a guy's got oil, you know, it's not good enough odds for us to let him do what he wants and to think that he has his own power, you know.
I mean, the money from the oil, it could never pay back because of the war. But the influence, I mean, you installed Prime Minister Maliki over there, and he was like half useless and half idiot, maybe. And, you know, you see how the devil, right? With the ISIS and all the radicals. I mean, yeah. Better stay out of that.
Do you think that in 50 years from now, we'll know everything about frog babies, about psychic soldiers, about the occult, about underground alien bases, about Kennedy, about 9/11? Do you think there will ever be a time when everything that's been secret is going to come out, you know?
I don't think so. I mean, Kennedy, how long is it from the murder of Kennedy? It's long enough. I just see no reason why the truth should be revealed. I mean, if you're a religious man, you can hope that the truth will be revealed on the judgment day. But here on the earth, secular speaking, I don't see any way how that could be turned over. Oh,
well, That's been another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diaries. Get your head out of your ass, America. Try and figure out what's going on. I also want to shout out, I looked at my statistics. I have some listeners in Australia. I have some listeners in the United Kingdom. And I have some listeners in Germany. And I have some listeners in Canada. So shout out to my international listeners. That's pretty fucking cool. So thanks for listening and see you next time.